God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. John, I'm going to use a microphone Stan Fallon. It's the blue one in a little bit, not yet. All right, wonderful. Turn, if you would, to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Preparing for Christmas and beyond. Matthew 25. Let me say a few words of introduction, if I may, and we'll jump in our text. My, here we are at Christmas again. Can you believe it? I mean, it'd be wonderful if it weren't for all the financial demands, right? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, everyone's after your money, right? I mean, your children are after your money, unless your name is Jackie Jonesman. Your grandkids are after your money. The retailers are after your money. Political candidates are after your money. Charities are after your money. I mean, who isn't after your money? But I have a gift for you. Today, on the first day of Advent, as we celebrate the giving of our Lord's birth, I have a gift that is far too precious to be placed in decorative wrapping. It is a gift that will change your life. Now, I realize that's a very bold promise, but it is a biblical life-changing gift that will bless you this Christmas and beyond through the next year and even past. Are you interested? Now, here's the key. You're going to have to receive the gift. And if you receive this biblical gift, I promise you'll be blessed under the authority of God's word. Now, this gift for you today is a gift of stewardship. Principles of stewardship that will bring transformation to your family. So let's jump right in and not delay. Five principles of biblical stewardship that will absolutely change the course of you and your family. Number one, make all financial decisions on behalf of God as owner. Now let's get to the text. Matthew 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves, and get this, here it is, and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, we are clear, are we not, as to who owns all things? Amen? You know that we actually own nothing. You see, our names may appear on deeds and titles and accounts and financial and legal documents, but you certainly understand you are not the owner. Sister Jackie reminded us this morning already in testimony. You see, God owns all, and he entrusts us to manage what is his, and the biblical term for that is steward. You are the steward. Now, before you make a single expenditure or a financial commitment, you must ask yourself, is this what the Lord desires? Because he owns what you're about to spend. He owns what you are about to commit. Now, let me give you some examples. You see, I don't think God would approve of purchasing pornography. The New York Times says that pornography is a $10 to $12 billion industry annually in the U.S. And I wonder how many Bibles could be purchased with this amount. I don't think that God would approve of gambling. Statistica reports that gambling industry accounts for, get this, $137.5 billion annually. Gambling, throwing it in the hopes that there may be some return. You know who wins with gambling, don't you? And it's not you. ask myself, how many homeless could be provided for with this money? Now let's consider alcohol consumption. In 2018, alcohol sales reached $253.8 billion in the U.S. How many meals could have been served to the poor? And I don't mean drinking meals. I mean good substantive meals could have been provided to the poor with this amount of money. Now, we could go on and on, couldn't we? You'll say, well, I don't abuse. I'm not asking about abuse. I hope you don't abuse. I hope you certainly consider what you're spending your money on, because we could continue the list of examples. I remind you that God owns everything. He is entrusting his money to you, and before you spend a dime this Christmas, some of you already are into it, before you make a financial commitment, ask yourself, would God be pleased with this decision? Listen, if you learn anything today, other than this, it is worth attending today. This one principle will revolutionize your life, because a lot of what we spend is just pure foolishness. And what God would do if we would spend our money, make financial commitments as though God really is the owner. Now, principle number two, don't fret over the amount of money God gives you to manage. I know how you live. I've lived there a lot myself. Look at verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each, listen to this, according to his own ability, he went on his journey. Now, you know everyone doesn't receive the same amount of money. Some receive 5 talents. By the way, a talent is a large measure of money. Some receive 5 talents. Some receive 2 talents. And one man in the story received 1 talent. They all didn't receive the same. Now, we can start bellyaching to God about that fundamental reality. God, I don't have as much as everybody else. God, you didn't give me as much as you gave others to manage. First, I want you to realize that a talent is a lot of money. The word talent is a measure of money in the story. It is the largest measure of money, or the amount of money that you find anywhere referenced in the New Testament. It was a lot of money. Now here's what the implication is. The implication is that you're not as poor as you think you are. There's been times in the past I said, well, I was the guy that had 2. God, you gave me 2 talents. There's a lot that have a whole lot more than me. And I would interpret talent as a talent. Like we think of it in English, talent, an ability. That's not what it is. A talent here is a measure of money. And it was a lot. So the one who had 1 would say, oh man, you only got 1. The other guy got 2. The next guy got 5. I'm like the guy that got 1. Well, actually, you're not near as poor as you think. Listen to this. The average global medium individual income is around $2,100 a year. Can you imagine that? Around the world, the average person earns $2,100. Most of us in America, the vast majority in America, are in the 10% highest level of income earners on the planet. Oh God, you've not been fair to me. I don't get as much as some find on my neighbor down the road. He's got so much. If you have anything beyond $2,100 a year. You're already beyond average. Don't fret over the amount of money God gives you to manage. The second thing I want to remind us of, first of all, a talent's a lot of money. Second, I want to remind us that God gives us the amount to manage according to our ability. Now, it's very clear. That means the Lord will most likely give me more to manage if I'm faithful with what I have. If I do well with what I have. Now, that's not an absolute 100%, like Sister Jackie said. If you give to God, bam. Or even if you manage, bam, you're just immediately going to get wealthy. That's not at all what it's saying here. But what the general rule is that God will indeed entrust more to your care if you are faithful with what you have. So don't bellyache by saying, oh, God, you're the problem. If you would have given me more, I'd have a better life. I have so little, I struggle so much. Principle number two, don't fret over the amount of money God gives you to manage. Principle number three, financial success or failure will be determined by what you do with what you have. Begin with verse 16. I mean, this is right down the scripture here. Immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them, and well, he gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents, well, he gained two more. But the one who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, it's very simple, isn't it? Here's a guy that had five. He invested his five, and what happened? He gained five. There was the fellow who had the two. And what did he do? He invested, and he gained two more. And then there was the guy who had the one. He invested his in a hole in the ground. And when his master came, he had the one out of the hole in the ground. Now, to succeed, listen carefully, to succeed, you must make the right investments. Every expenditure is an investment in somebody or something. Now, listen to me. Every dime you spend, you're spending for someone. You're investing in someone or in something. Ask yourself, is it always you? Are you always investing in yourself? Now, here's a chart that indicates how most folks, the average consumer, spends money. This came out of 2018, and it assumes here an income of $78,635. That's not important. What I wanted to see you, for you to see, is the basic categories. All right. So you got taxes. You're going to give Uncle his. Amen. Someone say amen. You can say oh me if you'd rather. All right. It's just kind of reality, isn't it? All right. So your Uncle, he's going to get his. And then first of all, food. Out of that income, the almost $8,000 is spent on food. Who eats the food? You do. You're eating your food. Now, you may say somebody comes over, you may give somebody a sandwich, but you're pretty much eating the food. All right. And next is housing. $20,000 of that, after tax money, $20,000 of it, you're spending on housing. Either mortgage, rent, utilities, etc., upkeep, etc. Who's living in the house? All right, just checking. All right, you are. All right, and then there's transportation, almost $9,761 of that after-tax amount you're spending on transportation. You've got to have a ride. And by the way, I prayer walk the circumference of the church. You know that every morning, Sunday morning, I pray here, and I see some nice rides. Yeah, I see some nice wheels. Who's riding in those vehicles? All right, just checking. All right, health care, $4,968, rounding up to $5,000 a year. In fact, many of us exceed that. But $5,000, generally, on average, of this after-tax income is for healthcare. You got to go to the doctor, and you got to get your shots, and you've kind of got your impediments taken care of. Who are you taking to the doctor? You are. You're going. That's for you again, isn't it? That's your healthcare you're paying for. All right, let's see what's next. Insurance and pensions. Yeah, insurance and pensions. Everybody loves to buy insurance, amen? And so I'm going to spend a little time on that. It's insurance and pensions, $7,290. Who are you paying? Who are you spending that money on? Yeah, that's you again. Other goods and services, $11,185. And the other goods and services, clothing, other things that you need to purchase beyond housing items. And some of you, you know, you kind of like to look good, so you drive, you buy clothing and just everything else that you shop for, you purchase, and that you have services for, laundry, mechanical services, or whatever. All right, who are you spending that on? Yeah, that's you again. So far, we're on you. Oh, there's one last category. It's called savings. Savings out of that money is $6,017. I was surprised it was that much out of this. It's close to 10% in some kind of a savings account. But nonetheless, who will you spend saving money for? Yeah, that's pretty much you again. Now, what I'm saying is that we generally invest in ourselves quite well, because that's who we're spending money on. I'm spending money on myself, so I'm investing in myself. But what about others? What about other needs? What about kingdom issues? What about the salvation of the lost? What about those that Jesus says, when you give them a cup of cold water in my name, you've given it unto me? I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Where's the owner? Well, the owner gets very little to nothing. In fact, the owner didn't even make the chart. I want you to look at verse 16 and look at the very first word. The very first word says immediately. Immediately, right? Immediately. Because here's what I want us to say. Well, you know what? As soon as Christmas gets over with, I'm going to review these five principles and I'm going to start implementing them after Christmas. Don't wait. I mean, this is my gift to you. Actually, it's Jesus' gift. I'm just kind of regifting. That was supposed to be funny. Two of you laughed. Jesus is saying, listen, here's how you're going to be blessed this Christmas. So start this now. You see, your success or your failure will be determined by what you do with what you have. Don't bellyache by saying, God, you didn't give me enough. Say, God, I'm going to manage what you have given me to manage, and I'm going to manage it like the owner is the owner. Principle number four. Keep focused on long-term financial rewards. Look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, that's how you say it in Greek, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me. You entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the two talents came and said to him, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Keep focused on long-term financial rewards. Look at verse 19, how it begins. After a long time. After a long time. Now, here's our problem. We don't want to wait a long time. We want to look good now. We want our stuff now. You see, that's why we utilize the credit cards as we do. Because we don't want to wait. We want our stuff now. And you know what we really have now? You know what the now is, right? It's amassing debt. Yeah, that's what we get out of this. We might get a new outfit, or we might get a new tool for the garage, but you know what we really are amassing is debt. Now, there is reward that comes from solid biblical management. Listen carefully. There is reward in solid biblical management. God will reward you for the way you use your money. Now, it gives us three rewards here. These are so awesome. I want you to see them. There are three rewards here. First of all, God's going to give you more. That's what it says in verse 21. He also said it in, verse 29. Look, just take a peek. You won't find it on the wall. Just take a peek at verse 29. "For to everyone who has, more shall be given." God wants to give you more. He really likes to give. You know, he really, 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 really likes to give. God wants to give to you. He wants to give you more. Anybody like to receive more from God? Say yes or no. Second, he's going to put you in charge of many things. Verses 21 and 23 mentions it twice. He will put you in charge of many things. I like to think of this as he's going to advance you. He's going to advance you. Because you were in charge of a little, now he's going to put you in charge of much. You will advance. And then the third one, I love the third promise. The third one is this. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He mentions it in two verses, verses 21 and 23. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, nothing steals your joy like money problems. It'll absolutely take your joy away. You become irritable. And you'll have marital stress. Those of you who are married, so if you're single, you're not going to have marital stress. So think, okay, I would like a little marital stress. I'm just simply saying. Here's what happens. Financial pressures makes you irritable. And it causes stress. It robs you of joy. Anytime I do marital counseling, which is from more than I care to admit, here's what you always figure that there is a financial issue in there somewhere. You can almost assume that. It's an assumption, but you can pretty much assume that somehow there's a financial trigger somewhere in there. I want you to look yet again at these three rewards for long-term management. It didn't come right the first week, but long-term. He's going to give you more. He's going to put you in charge of many things, and you're going to enter the joy of the Lord. Now, you're talking about promise. That's promise. That's awesome. What a great gift. Anyone here like to play Monopoly? You know, my grandchildren, 4 and 5, are playing Monopoly. I'm thinking, my, that's a little bit too early to start Monopoly. It is rather fun, and you know how to win. By the way, if you don't, you say, "I never win Monopoly." Okay, here it is. Spend as much money as you can buying as many properties as you can, as quickly as you can. Buy as many houses as you can. Buy as many hotels as you can. Fast as you can. Spend all that you can and buy all that is available for you to buy. And then when you've done that, try to swindle the person beside you into selling what they have to you. Now, if you want to win Monopoly, that's how you do it. Someone say amen. Okay, because you played too, and you know that's the case. I want to remind you of two things here. Monopoly money is play money. It's not real. The game of Monopoly is a game. It's supposed to be for fun, and then you stop. The second thing I want to remind you is at the end of the game, no matter who wins, what happens? You put all that money back into those neat little piles and all those hotels and houses you dump back in the game board. You put them in little tight little Ziploc bags because you don't want to lose them for the next time. And you put them in the box and you put the lid on and you stow it in the closet. It's not real. You can't live like you're playing Monopoly with what God has given to you. You say, I want to get rich all at once. That's why people gamble. I want mine all right now, you see. That's why they use credit cards. You see, here's what we have to understand. Keep focus on long-term financial reward. Long-term. Look at verse 19. After a long time, you got to stay the course. You got to stick with this. You'll say, yeah, but I've had a mishap. I've had a problem. I've fallen off. Listen, you got to get back and continue doing what you know God has for you to do. If you're not in this thing for the long term, you're going to fail. But if you want the three promises, promise number one, you're going to have more. Promise number two, that he's going to advance you and put your charge over other things. And number three, that your joy will not be taken away. If you want the three great promises of this stewardship of gift of the Lord, you got to be in it for the long term. Number five, manage your money like the day of accounting is coming. Begin with verse 24. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy slave, you stinker. You knew that I did not reap where I did not sow and gathered where I sowed no seeds. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank somewhere. And on my arrival, I would have had received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away that talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, when you throw the charge card on the counter, you're basically saying, I'm going to defer the day of accounting. And when the realtor says, now, what is your means of payment? And you take out a charge card and they scan your charge card, you're basically saying, I'm going to defer that day of accounting because I know I'm going to have to pay this, but I'm going to kick this can down the road. I'm just going to kind of push it off to some other time. But I assure you the day of accounting is coming, and you know that's so true. The one who had received one came to the Lord and said, "Lord, here is the one you gave me." And the owner was not very happy. Now, had this guy been an American, had this man been an American, this parable would have differed. You'll say, "How do you know?" Trust me. The American would have said, "Lord, you gave me one and I blew it, man. I just blew it. I spent it and I tried and I lost it. I ain't got nothing to give you back. You gave me one and I know it was a lot, but now I'm busted. I'm flat out broke. There's nothing." You know, that category doesn't even exist in the story. Do you find that odd? That the guy that Jesus called into the greatest account at least had what was given to him. At least he hadn't lost it. But what do? We lose it. We are so self-centered in ourselves that we lose what God gives us. That didn't even make the story here. The man who had the wand comes and says, "Listen, I just didn't do anything with it. Here's your wand." And the owner said, "I gave that to you to make money. And you disobeyed. You did not trust me." Like Sister Jackie testified this morning. "But you did as you willed. Away with you." You know, there's going to be another day of accounting. The great day of accounting. We call that the last judgment. And all of us will stand before our owner and will give an account. Now, I asked someone to help me. Diamond, if you would please, dear. Diamond's a sweetheart, isn't she? Give a hand for Diamond. Come here, Diamond. Sit here, Diamond. And we're going to switch to the blue mic. I've got a little money, Diamond. What do you think about that?
It's okay, I guess.
Okay, let's see what I got in here. Ooh, echo, echo, echo. No, here's some. I'm joking. Here it is. All right, I'm going to ask you to help me count some money. All right. I tell you what, you hold the microphone, and we'll use both. All right, I'm going to let you count.
One.
Count really loud.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Whoa, $10, huh? Single dollar, do they look real to you?
Yes.
Is this Monopoly money?
No.
Okay, is it real? I'm telling you, it's a real stuff. Guess what? I have $10. I'm thinking one I could buy with $10. I mean, there's some stuff I can buy. Pretty cool to have. How much do you have?
Zero.
Okay. All right. Well, you're blessed today, Diamond. You know what? You're blessed. You know why you're blessed?
Why?
Because I've got 10 and I'm generous. All right? Mm-hmm. So here's what we're going to do. By the way, this is all my money. Just wanted to remind you, okay? There's one.
Thank you.
Oh, she thanked me. Guess what? You do that, there's more. Two.
Thank you.
Oh, two. Three. Three. Oh, she's still saying thank you. She's just kidding. Four.
Thank you.
Five.
Thank you.
Six.
Thank you.
Seven.
Thank you.
Eight.
Thank you.
Nine.
Thank you.
I kind of like keep one myself.
Okay, that's okay.
Wow, wow. So I've got one, and you have how many?
Nine.
And you have nine, okay. Wait, it was all mine. Is that fair? I mean, I only got one, and you got nine. Is that fair?
No, not for me, it's not like
that. Oh, yeah, it's not really fair, but it don't matter, because I'm generous. It's not a matter about being fair. Now, the only thing I ask you, Donna, that's your money, okay, is just spend it on something that's pretty nice. I mean, not like something stupid. You don't like, you've quit smoking cigarettes, haven't you?
I mean, I haven't.
Okay. Of course you didn't. I'm just joking. So, just spend your $9 on anything you like, okay? Now, before you go back to your seat, I'm not going to give this to you because this is the only one I've got. But if you want to take it, if you want to just take it, you can take it. If you want to take it, you could just steal it. If you want to steal it, I'll let you steal it. If you want to just steal it, you can steal it. I'm not going to keep it from you if you want to steal it. You could buy more of a 10 than 9 if you want to steal it. You didn't steal it.
No.
Isn't that nice of you? How come you didn't steal it?
Because that's yours. That's all you got.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Thank you, Diamond. The $9 is yours. Thank you, sweetie. Yeah. I need to ask the church, do you understand what just happened? A tithe is 10%. It all belongs to him. So many of us steal his. We take the 9 and we say it's not enough. So we take his. And we even bellyache again. And then we wonder why we struggle. Why we have pressure. Our joy is taken away. You see, God loves to give. God gives generously. You know why he gives generously? Because he's got a lot to give. He's got a lot. He loves to give. He will give, but he won't ruin you. He will give to you all that you need, and then some. But he's not going to give to you to hurt you. The greatest gift he ever gave us was his son Jesus, who came to earth to die on the cross. Now, if he didn't withhold his son from us, he's not going to withhold an earthly blessing from us. He's going to give. He wants to give. He's generous to give. But we've got to manage and do what's right with the 90% as we give him the 10. Father, thank you for your generosity. And Lord, this is a gift that I know will bless each one of us if we'll just practice it. If we just believe you, trust your word. If we would just do what your word says. If we just obey you, receive your gifts and obey you and trust you. We'd have all the joy and all that we need. Call us now to this time of decision. In Christ we pray, amen.